Well, welcome again to Primetime.
Yeah.
Please open up these little outlines tonight. We're going to look at the crucifixion. The cross that Jesus died on. If you're nervous about finals, just be thankful it's not the cross. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The crucifixion was horribly perfected by the Romans, and hundreds of thousands of people were crucified. But there's only one man that we still talk about who was crucified. There's one man who died on the cross because it was unlike any death people had ever seen before. And Luke went around and investigated eyewitnesses who knew Christ and saw Christ, and he wrote this account, Luke's gospel, and that's what we've been studying through. Tonight we're going to look at the scene when Jesus died on the cross, the crucifixion. And what I want you to know is this, Jesus Christ suffered for others, and he suffered with others. Jesus suffers for you, and he suffers with you. The reason why this crucifixion is so important versus all the others is because who died on the cross? Jesus Christ, who is God. So let me pray, and then we'll read the passage. Our God in heaven, thank you for the cross. God, thank you that you have loved us so much that you sent your Son and that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And then he rose from the dead, God, that we can be forgiven. And so, God, I ask that you might open our eyes to know Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 23, verses 26 to 29. Sorry, 49, says this. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There is also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So that's the crucifixion scene. In your outline, I have three points to sort of guide our study of this text. The first is we want to look at the pain that Jesus went through, his pain. We're going to ask the question, what ways did Jesus suffer? And secondly, we're going to look at the people who are looking at this crucifixion scene. We're going to ask who understood Jesus and who didn't. Who understood why Jesus was suffering and who didn't. And third, we're going to look at his power. What does Jesus' suffering offer us? So that's where we're going. So first, his pain. In what ways did Jesus suffer? You know, Jesus raised people from the dead. He fed 5,000 people with a boy's little lunch. He was a powerful man. He stopped a storm. And this passage begins, and you see Jesus, the God-man, weak. He suffered the burden of the cross. He suffered weakness. He had a task that was a burden, and he was weak. It says, as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. You know, John 1 says that Jesus created the universe. Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1 say Jesus created the universe. That is a lot of power. And here, God, Jesus, is becoming, he's weak. He's suffering weakness. What other ways does Jesus suffer? Verse 26 and verse 27. Do you notice? This is very public. This is all happening in everybody's views. It says, and there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. This didn't happen, you know, just in some little part of town where just a few people were. There was a lot of people watching this. On top of public suffering, there was physical pain, verse 33. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And what they did is they would lay you down on this cross, and they would drive nails through your hands to hold you there, and they would put your legs across, and they would put your feet together and drive a nail through your feet to hold you to this piece of wood. And then they would raise you up and lower you down into this space and lock you in, and you would hang there by nails on this piece of wood out in the sun, being held to a piece of wood by nails. He suffered physical pain in this public setting. With my little kids, before they can talk, do you know how we say Jesus? Jesus. He suffered pain. And it was shameful pain. Verse 34. It's public, and look. And they cast lots to divide his garments. Jesus wasn't crucified with clothes on. He was naked. Imagine the shame with people watching. It was a shameful suffering. Not only that, it was an emotional suffering. People mocked him. Verse 35, you see that? And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. He is the Christ of, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him. People scoffed at him. People mocked at him. This is God, the God-man, And he's here, and he's being mocked. You know what God says in the Ten Commandments? He says, don't murder. Don't murder. And it's not just don't murder, but it's love others. The greatest commandment is love God and love others, right? And here, people are not just, they're not loving him. They're mocking him, and they're murdering him. They're killing him. Jesus is suffering the sins of others. And they're mocking him. And they're killing him. Notice he also suffers temptation, verse 35. He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God. They tempt him with his identity. Well, he is the Christ of God. He is the chosen one. And he's tempted. He suffers innocently. Verse 41, Jesus never sinned, and yet he suffered for sinners' sins. Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. And the criminal says, this man has done nothing wrong. How would you feel if you were being crucified and you had done nothing wrong? Well, Jesus was crucified and he was innocent. And then in 46, Jesus suffers death. It says, then Jesus calling out with a loud voice, and he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So why is it important to know the suffering that Jesus went through? Why does it matter? Because we need to remember that this is God suffering for you. It is God suffering for sins, for the sins of others. This is God suffering for you, and this is God suffering with you. Notice he's with others here. There are two criminals next to him, and he's suffering right in the middle of them. So it's important to know why the ways that Jesus suffered, because it is God suffering here for us in the place of us on the cross, and he's suffering with these people. So how does knowing that the God-man Jesus Christ suffered change the way you approach suffering? Have you ever gone through suffering? I've been through some hard times these last couple years. How does this change you? In the middle of this suffering, you not only have God paying for your sins, you have God suffering with other people. And what it means for suffering is that when you suffer, you are not alone. God has promised that he will not leave you or forsake you. And if you're a believer, he will never leave you. You do not suffer alone. You have a friend, a king, a savior, a God who suffers with you. And he knows suffering. He suffered with criminals. So in your suffering, remember that God is with you. You ever think in suffering that this is the worst? Like nobody else has this type of suffering. As we look at the cross, we can trust that suffering that we will experience is not the worst. Jesus suffered the worst day that any person would ever suffer. His suffering was the worst. When you suffer, remember, your suffering will never be as bad as what Jesus went through. Also, remember, why is Jesus dying on the cross? He's dying on the cross to pay for people's sins. There's a purpose. God here suffered for a purpose. Do you ever feel like suffering that you go through is just senseless? There's no purpose for this. Why is this coming into my life, God? Jesus suffered for a purpose. He suffered to save people out of their sin and save people out of their suffering. Jesus suffered to save others from their sin. So when you go through suffering, it doesn't mean that there is a one-to-one correlation between your sin and why you're going through this suffering. The cross, though, gives meaning to suffering, and it shows that when the worst suffering happened, there was a purpose behind it. And that gives us great hope. That this isn't just some random, like, difficult, negative thing in the universe, that we're just going through this suffering, that there's purpose behind it. So as you look to the cross, remember the reason why Jesus suffered. God suffered to pay for your sins so that you might receive him through life and one day have eternal life. If you remember with grateful amazement that Jesus was thrown into the ultimate furnace for you, then you can begin to sense Jesus and sense God in the smaller furnaces with you. If you think my suffering is the worst that there ever was, remember Christ. All other horrors are less than the horror that was against Jesus. This is particularly helpful for me to remember this last year. This suffering is not senseless. It's important to remember that God is with us in our suffering. He's with us always. My wife has this rare sort of low-grade blood cancer. For some reason, her body makes, you know, all sorts of blood platelets. She's supposed to have a maximum of like 400,000 blood platelets. She makes like 1.2 million per deciliter. A lot. 3 to 5 times more. And if you have too many blood platelets, the danger is you can have a heart attack, brain aneurysm, stroke. So she has this pain in the back of her neck. Whenever she has a pain, we call the doctors and say, yeah, you got to go to the ER. So she has one in her head. And we're in the hospital, and we don't know if this is serious or not, but we're there. And we're looking around, and there's old people everywhere in the hospital, perhaps on their last days. And this suffering with my wife has been, for a couple years, and again, we were in this hospital, and I just remembered, Jesus was alone. It was God with people who were just turning away. Criminals a criminal who didn't understand him. But God has promised, I will be with you. I'm with you always. And that promise was huge while we were sitting in the hospital. It was huge to remember that God cares while we suffer. He cares for us. Do you see Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? He cared for others. God cares for you in your suffering. He cares that you suffer, since he himself willingly underwent suffering. So Jesus suffered. He suffered weakness. Though he was God, he suffered shame. He suffered physically, emotionally, innocent, and he died. But in this passage, some people look and they mock Jesus and they don't understand why he's suffering. And there are some who understand. So let's look at them. Let's look at the people. Who understood why Jesus was suffering and who didn't? You see, at this crucifixion scene, it begins and Jesus has this little conversation with these women who are looking on. And the point is, you can't just look at the crucifixion and not be changed. The crucifixion requires a response from us. And there are some people who said, it's not going to change me. And there are some people who it changed them. Jesus looks at these women and he tells them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. And he paints this picture of just a horrible day. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us and to the hills. You think finals is bad? Imagine saying, mountain, come and crush me, because life is so bad. And Jesus says, look, there's going to be a day when you will say, cover us, fall on us. What he's saying is, look, this crucifixion is not just about me. Don't just weep for me. He said, think about yourselves. What does this crucifixion mean for you? So who didn't understand Jesus? Do you understand Jesus? Well, who didn't? Notice the people here in verse 35. It says the people stood by watching. And then in verse 49 it says, and all the acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. We don't get any more details. They were just watching. So are you just a watcher? Are you just a watcher? Who else didn't understand Jesus? The rulers didn't understand Jesus. In verse 35, they scoff at him. They say, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The chosen one would suffer. They doubt who Jesus was. If you doubt who Jesus was, look again at the reason why Jesus is dying on the cross. To save people from their sins. Notice also the soldiers. You think the soldiers are kind of the tough guys? Well, verse 36. The soldiers, they mocked him. They came up, and it says, offering him sour wine, and they said, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. The soldiers don't understand Jesus. The soldiers are men under authority, but they don't realize how Jesus will use his authority and power. Jesus will use his power by giving it up and by dying. He died so that others might have life. Jesus saves not by taking up his power and wielding it and slaying it. He saves by laying down his life. So the soldiers don't understand. And notice also there's these two criminals. The scene begins to divide. Criminal one and criminal two. And we're supposed to look at them. They have radically different views of Christ. Criminal one, verse 39, rails at Jesus. He says, if you are the king, and this is what he says, then get me out of this. How do you approach suffering? If one way you approach Jesus is like the first criminal, save yourself and us, just get me out of this, then you might not understand why Jesus came to suffer. This first criminal had no broken spirit. He had no sense of his own guilt. He had no humility. He could only see Jesus as a possible power by which to escape his own suffering. He did not see Jesus as a king to be followed. It never entered his mind that he should say he was sorry. He never felt guilt over all of his sins. Criminal one didn't think that he should change. And he did not understand Jesus. But there's this other criminal, right? Let's look at him. Who did understand Jesus here? Well, there's glimpses here of this second criminal who understood Jesus. Look, do you not fear God, he says. Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This second criminal does not trust in himself, but he looks out and he sees that there's something different in Jesus Christ, and he trusts in him. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knows that Jesus was innocent, and he knows that the innocent one came to die for the guilty so that the guilty might receive his forgiveness to be set free. He also knows that even though Jesus is dying, he has an eternal kingdom. Isn't that amazing? I mean, imagine being up on the cross and you see another guy dying and you are minutes away from dying. Where are you going to find hope? And this man knows that he's under this just penalty for his sins. And the criminal is dying and he looks over and he knows this guy is innocent. And he looks over and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The criminal feared God, And the criminal knew that Jesus had power. He understood Jesus. So how does this apply? Open your eyes to the true King Jesus. He is King. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the Jews who came to save sinners from their sins. So is he your King? Is he your only hope? He is your only hope. Look, one day, it's a proven fact, everyone in this room will die. And in 100 years, everyone you know on this planet, everyone you know will be dead. The question is, who do you trust? Trust the dying King, who though he was dying, had an eternal kingdom. Trust him, receive him by faith. He's your only hope. So do you trust him with your life? If you're on that cross, which criminal are you? Are you the one saying, just get me out of here? Or if you were on that cross, are you the other criminal who's looking at him saying, he's my only hope? Because he really is your only hope. So receive him by faith. Look to him. So the criminal gets it. Lastly, I want to look at Jesus' power. What does Jesus' suffering offer us in our own suffering? What does his suffering offer us as sinners? Well, first, did you notice how confident Jesus was in this passage? There's a serene confidence that Luke particularly points out versus other gospels. In verse 26, he's going to the cross. His cross is taken up by Simon of Cyrene. And these women are mourning and lamenting. And Jesus turns to these women and has a brilliant paragraph that he says to them. He's confident that something's coming. And he's able in his suffering to give them words to think about for themselves. In verse 34, Jesus is on the cross. And he has this confidence in him. He has this serene power in him to say to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In suffering, he's not losing it. I mean, when I suffer, I do not have great confidence in myself. I lose it. And I want to tear down other people with me. But Jesus has just brilliant words. Father, forgive them. And then notice in 46, he confidently puts and entrusts his soul to the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He dies with a peaceful last breath. He doesn't die with great anxiety. You know, I've heard of stories of men on the battlefield. I met this man the other year. He's a colonel in the army. He was leading about 800 guys, and he said, guys fall apart on the battlefield. They fall apart at different times. Sometimes when it's a buddy that dies, sometimes it's when they're facing a situation. That's pretty crazy. But they fall apart. And Jesus here confidently entrusts his spirit to the Father. He has a confidence in God to endure suffering. So what does Jesus' suffering offer you? When you see that Jesus had a love with the Father and knew that God the Father would raise him from the dead, and as much as you believe that, and as much as you abide in Christ and trust him in your own suffering, you too will have a serene confidence. When you can entrust your eternal soul to a powerful Savior who doesn't just feed the 5,000, but dies in your place and raises from the dead, you can be sure that when you trust him, he will one day raise you from the dead. It doesn't matter if you're cremated. It doesn't matter if ISIS chops your head off and puts your head on the other side of the world. It doesn't matter if you're buried in the ground and your body rots. God one day will raise you from the dead. And if you are a Christian, he will raise you to new life and eternal life. You can trust in him. Jesus rose from the dead. What does Jesus' suffering offer us? Confidence in our own suffering. Serene confidence. Quiet confidence in God. Jesus' suffering also offers us forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross, and he paid on the cross, in your place, all of your past, present, and future sins. And he did that for you if you believe in him. When he did that, he took the penalty, the just penalty of sinning against God, and he paid it. So God no longer holds his just wrath against you. So receive forgiveness from Christ. Receive the forgiveness. And not only do you receive personal forgiveness, is when you look at Jesus on the cross, he is forgiving others. You know, some days when I'm like kind of angry, I just want to drag other people down. Do you ever feel just bad and you just want other people to feel bad? Jesus on the cross, though he's suffering, he forgives. There's a kindness here. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so have you ever been railed at? Have you ever been mocked? Have you ever been made fun of? Where are you going to get the power to forgive? And where you will get it is by looking at Jesus on the cross, forgive others. And so trust Christ. When you receive the forgiveness of Christ, he will enable you to forgive others. Jesus gives us the power to forgive others who mock us and rail at us. So forgive others. Be a forgiving person. Notice also, when Jesus suffers on the cross, he hung next to sufferers. Remember that God is with you when you suffer. Jesus hung next to criminals. He came to people who were sick and he healed them. He walked on this earth. God came to earth and took on flesh, just like us, so that he could walk around and know what it is like to be in this world. That says a lot about God. And what that says about God is that he's willing to enter in into our suffering and into our world, into our life. God is willing, and he did enter into this world. So God gives us his presence in suffering. He comes near. And lastly, notice that as we look at Jesus' suffering here, he offers paradise. He offers hope. The criminal on the cross says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. I like the sound of that. You know, I like the sound of that, especially when I'm in the hospital with my wife and I see dying people around me. I like the idea of paradise when I'm in the hospital with my wife and we're talking about going to see God. When you're going through hell, when you're going through suffering, don't you long for paradise? Jesus promised that, and he delivered. He rose from the dead, and when this man died, he was in paradise. If you're a Christian, you trust in Christ, when you die, your soul is swept to heaven, and you are in the presence of God. You're in paradise. Jesus gave hope in suffering. He suffered with criminals, and he gave them hope of paradise. Jesus brought a power to suffering that is what we all really long for when we suffer. He brought confidence. He brought his forgiving presence. He brought a serene peace and confidence. He brought paradise and hope, and he brought forgiveness of sin. He brings a power to suffering that is what we all long for. He brings his forgiveness, he brings his presence, and he brings paradise. Eternal paradise with God, that hope swallows up the temporary present reality of pain and suffering. So look forward to eternity in paradise in your suffering. In closing, remember that Jesus has all authority and power. And yet he came to suffer for you and with you. As I close, I want to read a hymn. I'd ask you to close your eyes and meditate on these words here. All authority and power, every status and domain, now belongs to one who suffered our redemption to obtain. Angels, demons, kings, and rulers, over all shall Jesus reign. All the nations owe him worship. Every tongue shall call him Lord. How are men to call upon him if his name they have not heard? Therefore, go and make disciples. Preach this gospel. Spread this word. All the clear commands of Jesus must be heeded and obeyed. Full provision for our weakness in his teaching he has made. In the gospel, words and symbols, saving truth to us conveyed. All the time he will be with us, always to the end of days, with his own believing people who keep steadfast in his ways. God the Father, Son, and Spirit, bless us, and to him the praise. And listen to this. And the criminal said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Let me pray. Our Father, thank you for sending your Son and loving us with his life and his death. Thank you, God, that you loved us, that he would take upon flesh and that he came and lived amongst us. And our Lord Jesus, we praise you that you took our place on the cross. We deserve that for all the ways that we've sinned against you. And so, God, thank you. Lord, I pray for everyone here that you might help them understand the cross more. God, open their eyes to see and know you. God, help them to know that Christ came and that he is coming again. And that, God, as we look to Jesus on the cross, there are resources that we need in our own suffering. God, help us to look to Christ and receive his forgiveness as we suffer. Help us, God, to remember that as Jesus suffered, he offered paradise and promised paradise. And so, God, I pray, help these students in these coming weeks as they turn to finals to remember that the worst days that seem so bad are nothing like what Christ went through. And so, God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.